Please take your Bibles out with me. Open them up to Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter 12. We're actually going to close this chapter out this morning. I'm going to tell you the message this morning, the widow's sacrificial gift. Beginning in verse 41, Mark pens these words. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which makes a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." 4 powerful verses. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you. We worship you. We praise you. We adore you. We thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much for eternal life, Lord, that through your Son, through grace, through faith, we have salvation, Lord. And that, Lord, when we come to church, we could sing songs of praise and worship because our salvation is real. It's real in your Son, Lord, and we rejoice in that. And, Lord, we thank you that your word is also real. That, Lord, although it was written some 2,000 years ago, it's still alive, it's still powerful, and it still speaks to our hearts. So, Lord, I pray as we look at this section of Scripture, you will speak to our hearts. You will teach us, Lord, through this. It's in Jesus' precious name, all of God's people said. Amen. This morning, we're going to look at the circumstances surrounding a widow and her monetary gift to God. And in this process, as we see her give, the disciples are going to learn a valuable lesson about what it means to give sacrificially. And not only sacrificially, but they're going to also learn behind the motives, that is, the motives in giving. So as we go through this text, try your best to apply it to your own life this morning. And I have 3 points for you. All start with the letter C. The first point we're going to look at is the context, then we'll look at the contrast, and then we'll close out with the commendation. So let's look at the context of this section of Scripture, beginning in verse 41a. It says, "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury, and he saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much." So Jesus sat opposite of the treasury. If you've been with us the last, I'd say, 4 weeks, Jesus has been in the temple. He has debated with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, even the Herodians were more of a political sect during this period of time. So we saw the debates. We saw that Jesus outsmarted him because he is God in the flesh. And the Lord gave him the words to share with them in their harsh rebuke towards him. And by the way, this is the final time Jesus is in the temple. From here on out, Jesus is no longer in the temple or the temple grounds. This is it. This is the final time. And we're going to learn an important lesson that he teaches here. Now, let me give you a little bit of background on the temple courtyards in particular. The temple consisted of 4 distinct courtyards for people to worship. And now keep in mind here, this is Passover. You've got lots of people showing up here. The first courtyard, if you will, is referred to as the court of the Gentiles. This would be the farthest courtyard for worship. It would be the farthest from the actual temple building. And this is the court of the Gentiles, meaning that this area was set apart for Gentiles to come and to worship God during the Passover. Now, if you remember, weeks back, this is the courtyard where Jesus overturned the tables. Remember that? Money changers, the animals just scattered. This is the court of the Gentiles. Now, what's interesting is there was a barrier that was set up in the courtyard for the Gentiles to not enter. So as you begin to enter into closer to the temple, there was a boundary there that had a sign. This is interesting. It had a sign that said to the Gentiles, keep out, don't enter. It was written in Latin and in Greek. So the Gentiles could only be in that courtyard. If they were to come and cross that barrier, it would be death for them. That made me realize this week studying that you and me, as born-again believers, are able to go through all the courts, spiritually speaking, and go straight into the Holy of Holies because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. You might remember Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, that says, there's neither Jew nor Gentile in Christ. We're all one in Jesus Christ. This is what the cross accomplished, that we can go to the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. So we thank the Lord for that. So you have the court of the Gentiles. Now inside that barrier, you had another court. This would be the court of women. This is where the women came to worship God. Now men were allowed to go in that court, but the women could not proceed any further closer to the temple grounds. This is ordained by God in the Old Testament. So that second courtyard is the court of women. Now as you proceed closer to the temple building, the next courtyard would be the court of Israel. This would be the men. This is where the men gathered. And then the fourth and the last courtyard, if you will, would be the court of the priests. These are where the priests would be. They would be the closest to the temple building and the Holy of Holies inside of it. Now, as we look at this, the treasury is located in the court of women. So again, you had men and women coming in this. The treasury in the courtyard is where a place where you would give to God in your worship. You would give to the Lord in your worship. And you would place your coins, which would be the Jewish coin, the shekel, into these trumpet-shaped receptacles. Put your coin in through the trumpet-shaped receptacles, and at the bottom would be a big box. So you could picture the scene. Now, those trumpet-shaped receptacles were made out of bronze. Kind of interesting. They're trumpet-shaped because when you looked at them, they were narrow at the top where you put the coin, and they'd widen out as you go, as the coin goes deeper. Sort of like our modern-day trumpet. Narrow, widens to the end. So the coins would be put into that box. Now, in the treasury, there were 13 different receptacles to give. I'd like to share them with you this morning. The first two receptacles, you would put in a half shekel for your taxes. This was a year you'd pay for your annual yearly tax that you put in the two receptacles. Okay. The third receptacle would be for you to purchase turtle doves or pigeons. It's interesting that God provided in the Old Testament sacrifices for people that were poor to offer this up to Him. They were very, very inexpensive. I'm going to talk about that a little later on. The fourth receptacle would be the wood. You'd put your coin in for the wood. Why? Because you'd burn the wood. The wood would come up for the sacrifice. Then the fifth was incense. Put your coin in there. Six would be the golden vessels, where you put the incense in the vessels, which is symbolic for, anybody know? Prayer. Prayer. Then the seventh receptacle was the purchase of the sacrificial animals, for example, goats, bulls, and lambs. They would be the more middle class group or the rich group. Then the eighth receptacle would be for sin offering. Put your coin in there. And then the last five receptacles are what's referred to as free will offerings. You're saying, Lord, I just want to give a free will gift to you monetarily in the temple that is the courtyard of the Gentiles. So if you're with me, say amen. Four courtyards, 13 receptacles. Now Jesus is sitting opposite of the treasury. He decides to sit and take a rest. He takes a rest because throughout the day, like I said, he's been debating with the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin. It's been a long day. And notice in verse 41, it says that he saw how the people put money into the treasury. Jesus sees the people giving. Now you could imagine Passover, 1.5 million, 2 million, some say even more than that, are here for this event. They're giving. So there had to have been a line as people were giving. He sees what the people are giving. And he also hears what the people are giving. And the reason why he could hear is because when that coin was dropped into that receptacle that was made out of bronze, you could hear it cha-ching in there. Cha-ching till it went to the base. So he hears what's going on. So that is the setting, or the, if you will, the context of our study this morning. It picks up the story in verse 41b through 42, which is the contrast. And we're going to see the contrast between the rich who give and this woman who gave. Notice verse 41b. Many who were rich put in money. So you've got the wealthy people that are giving. They gave out of their wealth. They're rich, or well-to-do, if you will. Now, he's not condemning the rich who are giving. It's important to catch that. He's not condemning that at all. Nothing wrong with giving out of wealth. In fact, it's important, especially at that time, for middle class or wealthy people to give because their money helped finance the temple. The priests were the custodians of the temple and the temple courts. So when you gave, it provided for the chief priests. Chief priests didn't have a secular job and then come in on whatever day. They worked full-time at the temple. The temple grounds also had to be kept up. Somebody had to keep the grounds up, and it was the chief priests. Now, God is concerned with motives of the people. He's still the same today. He's concerned about motives of giving. And in our text, where we're at right now, he's concerned about the rich giving. Did they give out of worship to God? I think that's a fair question. We don't know. Or did they give for others to see them? Hey, man, I put in lots of coins in this receptacle. You can hear it bang. What are the motives? We don't know. But we know the motives of the religious leaders. the religious leaders gave, and they wanted everybody to know. If you remember back in Matthew chapter 6, they would blow a trumpet as they gave. Can you imagine that? All right, God. Not charge. Look, look. I'm putting in my money. And look, it's a large amount. Religious leaders were rich. They were wealthy. They put in their money. They blow their little trumpet. Their motives were false. They were corrupt. Notice the contrast. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrants. You have this woman, the text says, is poor. So I went and looked that up in the original language. It literally means the lowest level of poverty. This woman who gave, gave at the lowest level of poverty. In our modern vernacular, we would say she was dirt poor or destitute. We don't know how this took place, why she became poor or was poor from the beginning. We don't know. Maybe she was taken advantage of the scribes. Remember, we saw that last week, how the scribes would come in and, you know, make friends with widows who gave, loved on them. They'd manage their finances. Maybe. But notice the text here. It says not only is she poor, but she's a widow. She has no husband. Now, he must have died along the scene. We don't know when he died or how long he's been dead. But we know this for sure. She has no husband to provide for her. This gives me a good indication that more than likely, she gleaned off the fields of the land. Do you know that God set up a provision for the poor? Where that during the harvest, especially towards the end, he'd allow the poor people to go in and take food. This is great because this is God's welfare system where you would have to go in and take. You know, it's fascinating on YouTube. I love this one particular channel. Poor people in our city. And I thought, man, what a way to glorify God. But you know what? They had to go in and glean, if you will, off the land. I just saw on the news yesterday, and you probably heard lately about the SNAP benefits that are given. Another word for SNAP is welfare. They want to recall and check and make sure that the system is not corrupted because they found lots of dead people getting food stamps. But wouldn't it be great for people on welfare, and hey, you go through tough times, that's a reality. Wouldn't it be great to allow them to do something like that to take care of their needs in order for the government to take care of them? It was ordained in God in the Old Testament by God. Why not now? Wouldn't it be great? Amen? You feel a sense of dignity. This woman must have gleaned from the fields back then. And notice in our text it says, she throws in two mites into one of those bronze receptors. Two mites are two copper pennies. If you look in your Bible, more than likely we use the Greek word lepta. It'll show you that, at least mine did. The two copper pennies were the lowest denomination in circulation back then. Maybe this woman used it to purchase those turtle doves and pigeons for her offering. Maybe it was used for that. We don't know. And by the way, Joseph and Mary, if you read the Bible, when they offered up sacrifices to God, they offered up turtle doves or pigeons. So that tells you and me this morning that Jesus, his parents, were poor. Now, they weren't dirt poor, but they were poor. They were Galileans. Jesus did not have a rich garb on his clothing. He was raised in a poor family. So this woman gives two mites, lowest amount of money. And notice it says, it mentions the word quadrants, which make or made a quadrant. A quadrant is literally 1/64th of a day's wage. You'd make a day's amount of money. Let's say today, in our vernacular today, you'd make $100. 1/64th of it would be what she gave. And Mark uses this language because quadrants is a Roman coin. Now remember, Mark writes this gospel to the church in Rome. So the Romans could understand how destitute this woman was. So it's in our scriptures today. So to conclude this section, this woman, this widow, was beyond poverty. Broke, destitute. But she gives. Now let's look at the commendation, the last two verses of our section. So he called his disciples to himself. And let's stop right there. He calls his disciples. Now the disciples must have been roaming around in that quarter of the Gentiles. And he's saying, hey guys, come here. Check this out. I want you to see what's happening here. Why? Because he wants to teach the disciples a lesson on giving. He wants to teach them a lesson. By the way, this applies to all of us. Amen? The Lord wants to teach us a lesson on giving. And not just money, although the text refers to money. It could refer to our time. We give our time. Or we can give our talents, or our abilities, or our skills. But you give sacrificially. He wants to teach them that. So the text goes on and says, assuredly I say to you. And when Jesus uses assuredly, and some of your translations say verily, verily, or truly, truly. When Jesus uses words like assuredly I say to you, he's saying, pay attention. This is important what I got to say. So he says, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. This poor woman has put in more than all those who are rich. Again, you're not condemning the rich that give. It's important that they give. But he's commending this woman. And boy, how can you not commend her? She gave out of poverty. Then verse 44 includes, for they all put in out of their abundance. See, the rich gave out of their wealth. But she gave out of her poverty and put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. They gave out of their riches. Again, nothing wrong with that. But she gave out of her poverty. What she's doing is she's giving sacrificially. There's no command that she had to give everything she had. But she's doing that. Apostles, listen to me. Look how she gave out of her poverty. Now, it's interesting that when you look at the book of Corinthians, you find out that there's a church, or churches in the plural, in Macedonia. Bunch of churches that Paul took a collection from those churches and gave to the church of Corinth that had a need. And Paul says that they were poor. Catch this. They're poor. But they gave, and it says that they gave out of their poverty. And they gave out of joy. Wowee, what a lesson. The rich gave a lot. And I tell you what, again, we're grateful for that. But it's very easy to give out of abundance. This woman gave out of poverty sacrificially to God. She didn't have to, again, no command from the Bible, but she did. Why? She did it as a form of worship. Worship. She put in all she had, her whole livelihood. She put in everything by faith. I've never had to do that. But boy, what a lesson that is. Chances are good you have never been destitute like that. Maybe you have. Maybe not. I haven't. But she understood. She put everything in by faith, and she understood that God, listen, God was her provider. God was going to take care of her needs. Wow. You know, I remember when I was a kid, my uncle had lost his job. We were living in Rochester, New York, and my uncle was married, had two kids, and he fell behind in his bills. He lost his job. And one Friday night, which was typical, we'd all go to my grandparents' house. It would be my grandparents and his kids. He had seven kids. And of course, his kids had kids, which would be my first cousins. We'd all go there on Friday night, man. It was a blast. We'd hang out. It was fun. But this particular Friday night was my grandfather's birthday, or it was a celebration for his birthday. I can't remember. But I remember him opening the cards, pulling them open, and some of my aunts and uncles gave a pretty good amount of money. Yeah. But when my grandfather opened up my uncle's card, there was a dollar in it. $1. 70s. $1. My grandfather said, and I could just picture it in my mind today and hear it. He said these words as he was crying. I want to thank every one of you for giving to me for my birthday. But I especially want to thank my son Vince. Because as you know, he was laid off from his job and he's had a hard time finding one. You know what my uncle did? My uncle gave sacrificially. Why? Because he loved my grandfather. He loved his dad on his birthday. That had to have been hard to do that for two reasons. Number one, it doesn't look too good in front of everybody. And number two, they didn't have anything. They're in debt. Not easy. But he did it. As a kid, never forgot. That must have been about 10. Great lesson for me. Sometimes we have to give sacrificially. In fact, we should. In fact, I have three closing points for you this morning. And if you're a note taker, I jot them down. Let's look at our first point. When you give, give from the heart. Give from the heart. Why? Because God sees your motives. Give from the heart. The widow, she gave because she loved God. When the scribes gave, they gave to be seen by men. What's your motive when you give? Secondly, give from what you have. So worship team comes forward. Give sacrificially. There's some that will say, I'll give when I get money. Remember, the widow had virtually nothing, and she gave from her poverty, and Jesus commended her. If you're well-to-do, middle class, we are in America, middle class, well-to-do, we're blessed. Give from your abundance. The rich gave. Middle class, you and me, we give. Why? Because some have a need. If you don't give at all, start to do it. Start. Some say, well, you might say, Pastor, you putting a plug in for the church? Yeah. We never talk about giving in this church. We just say, hey, man, there's a box there and there. If you don't give, and by the way, I don't pull out my accounting booklet and look at everybody's giving. Okay, I don't know who gives, but I could tell you one thing. In any evangelical church or any church, there are always people that go and they never give. You know what my suggestion is? If you're poor, low level, give a buck. Well, that means nothing. Well, it means something to God. Give a buck faithfully. If someone is in need outside of the church, you know what? Meet that need. I don't have much. Buy someone a cup of coffee. I can't afford lunch. Coffee. Take them out. And the third point, give as unto the Lord. Giving, and I think we miss this in the church, giving is worship. Giving is worship. It's always been worship. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, giving is worship. Sometimes we think, and I've thought this for a long time, worship is when we sing songs. Yeah, that's worship. This is just another form of worship. Because you're glorifying God with your monies. And also give to others having God in mind. So don't just give. Give with the Lord in mind. Lord, I want to worship you. I want to do it as unto you. I want to glorify you. I'm going to take someone out for a cup of coffee or maybe lunch. Or maybe somebody has a need 20 bucks. Be discerning, okay? Why not meet a need, amen? We hear plenty in this country. We do. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Father, we thank you. Just four verses, Lord. Four verses on giving. We thank you for the example of this woman. Thank you for the example for the rich. Lord, it starts with giving our hearts to you. When we give our hearts fully to you, and I'm speaking to myself, Lord, we give everything. Everything's yours. Lord, help us, teach us that principle, the having giving spirit. Give a hug. Give a cup of cold water. But help us. The small things, things that nobody sees. Help us to have that kind of heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, we ask you for this, Father. Amen.